Pa, I don't want to watch Gremlins. I want to watch Mr. Limpet. Hello everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Phoebe Cates from Ridgemont, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay.
Can you tell?
I've never watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
The most famous scene she's ever done?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
Well, you're wrong.
I'm sorry. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Gizmo's cute face. Gizmo's ripped off cute... and put on my face.
He sawed it off and wore it.
Merry wore Christmas.
Yeah. That's this movie. Yeah. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory over there, Gus, joining me, as always. And we are into the holiday season, as we started last week with our Christmas discussion. So we decided to watch an anti-Christmas movie, I would say.
Whoa.
Not that it's not a Christmas film, but when you think about it, you normally don't think about it in the realm of your Santa Claus is coming to town, your elf, your Grinch Stole Christmas. This is an anti-Christmas movie, as it's kind of like a horror comedy Christmas movie, in a sense.
Christmas alternative, if you will.
Yes, indeed. That's why I say anti-Christmas. Like an anti-hero, if you will. So this week we watched 1984's Gremlins. This film is quite enjoyable, and we're going to discuss it here as we move through the pod. But first and foremost, what we do here on the podcast, every week we take a film, we then discuss said film, and we talk about what we liked about it, talk about what was bad about it, if there was anything, and then we take to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, different cast and crew. So, with that being said, again, we watched 1984's Gremlins, and this was a childhood favorite growing up, in a sense, to a degree.
Yeah, this is also one that we didn't get to watch.
It's spoochy.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to watch it for a while. I think the first time I caught it was on TV. But yeah, when it came out in 84, it was a big success. Just some movie factoids. You know, this movie came out the same day as Ghostbusters.
What do you want?
It also helped to usher in the PG-13 rating.
Good.
This and Temple of Doom, both Spielberg productions.
Well, it's not like a terrifying movie, but for a kid, it could be pretty goddamn scary.
It probably should have been PG-13.
Just for, like, violence and scary moments. I feel like that's part of ratings nowadays. Like, some scary scenes or something like that.
Yeah, there's some, especially in the finale.
That, the teacher who gets stabbed.
Yeah, and there's just some other, like, the mother just going Rambo and killing all the gremlins in the kitchen.
The racist neighbor.
Yeah, a little bit. Goddamn foreign cuss. Last but not least, as far as PG-13 would go, what would it be? I just had it. Oh, the flashing gremlin.
Yes.
Eh. This movie came out super popular to the point where other studios tried to, like, mimic it with their films. There were movies like Critters, The Munchies, Hobgoblins, Ghoulies.
Trolls 2?
Eh. Funny story about Critters real quick. Critters was actually, like, as a script written before Gremlins came out.
Did it took a while. Did we have a movie that had a Critters trailer?
No, but in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990, Raphael goes and sees Critters, and he walks out. He's like, where'd they come up with this stuff? And it's big on the poster.
Shots fired.
Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
I don't know. I feel like I remember seeing a commercial for it. Maybe it was a commercial for Gremlins.
Yeah, there was one we had. It was before the it's before the Incredible Mr. Limpet, and it was a commercial for Gremlins 2.
Doesn't
new
it
batch.
Start like kind of like
we told you not to get the
yeah. 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 Yeah, it starts spooky. I remember because I would close my eyes.
It starts out a little spooky.
It's like, Pa, I don't want to watch Gremlins. I want to watch Mr. Limpet.
In time. Yes. But yeah. Well, what
Written
else
by old Christopher Columbus. Himself.
Master of the cozy.
Yeah, master of the cozy until Christmas with the Cranks. And yeah, it's a really interesting take, if you will. In terms of like a Christmas film, because it does have a lot of dark aspects to it. Was it Mrs. Deal?
Deagle
is like the evilest lady I've ever met.
She's like Mr. Potter.
Yeah, she's terrifying.
Wonderful Life. Yeah,
she's terrifying. She wants to kill that dog. And it's like
I'll catch the beast myself.
Gave it a slow death, like it deserves. I'm like, you witch.
Yeah. I found her theme unsettling when she'd walk around. It was like, brum, brum, brum,
brum, brum, brum. I wonder, was she like based on from like Wizard of Oz? Like,
probably.
Yeah. Cause it's pretty close. Like
I read that their original intention with her was to be like an Ebenezer Scrooge kind of character. I'm like, she's a little more rough.
She's worse.
Yeah. He's just like, humbug.
Yeah.
This lady's like, I'll kill you myself.
She's like, I will murder you in your sleep. The bank needs money. She's one of those characters that when she dies, you're like, thank you.
And she got it good.
Indeed. Her and her cats, too. Yeah. But, yeah, this movie does have a lot of darker elements to it. Even the beginning for, like, a Christmas film. Like, it started in Tokyo. Not Tokyo, Little China.
Hello, friends. This is
Billy Dee Williams.
He plays Father Peltzer. Ooh, that's a nice mogwai you got there.
I'll give you $200. You hear me? That's $200. That's no problem at all. No problem at all. Comes right off. Yeah. Was I the only one that when the toothpaste squirted on his jacket, I'm like, that's not toothpaste.
That is slime.
Yeah, he like rubs it off. I'm like, that came off too quick.
Yeah, that's the real toothpaste. It's
like,
off
I
like
give
that.
You things.
It was the 80s.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I guess we should explain the Gremlins. It starts with a father that is in Chinatown looking for work, basically. He's an inventor, and he's trying to, he's a traveling buddy. It has like a shaving mirror and a razor and a comb, everything built in. It's like a Swiss Army knife of traveling. And he's trying to sell it to this elderly Chinese man in a shop, and he keeps hearing a noise, and he finds this mogwai, or gremlin, basically. It's a mogwai, and they turn into gremlins, but he finds mogwai.
Mogwai means gremlin.
And it's a little tiny little guy, a little cute little man, tasted the gyoi. Offers him $200 for it. The old man won't take it, but they need the money, so his grandson sells it behind his back.
Some back alley dealings.
Yeah, he gives it to his son and tells
Billy.
Him there's several rules. You can't get it wet, can't feed it after midnight, and kill it.
And sunlight can kill it.
Yes, indeed.
You forgot some words in your sentence.
No, just
there.
Kill it. It's too cute.
Yeah, it's too cute to live. I'll tell you this. I'm a big fan of Gremlins too. Gremlins, Gizmo does not look nearly as cute as he does in the second one.
Because he's Rambo in the second one. Second one's a parody of a parody of a parody.
Different special effects creator. And the first one was Chris Wallace. Or Wallace, I can't pronounce his name too well. The second one was Rick Baker. Rick Baker, legendary creature effects designer. And he perfected these creatures. You know, when they were getting ready to make this movie, they were debating on doing what they did, which was animatronics. They thought of it as maybe being expensive, which it was. But another original idea they had was dress up spider monkeys to look like gremlins. And they tested it on a spider monkey, and it didn't react too well to being in a little costume. And
I would imagine.
screamed and swung around and started throwing shit at everyone. And they're like, yeah, so animatronics.
They're like, let's do it.
This is exactly what I'm going for. That's good shit. Yeah. Do you know what gremlins originate from?
I know that there's something on the wing.
There's that one, yeah.
Some thing. Wasn't it in, I believe, like World War II or something of that nature? There was the pilots thought they would be fucking with shit.
Yeah, like they were having malfunctioning aerial equipment, and they were blaming it on gremlins.
Monsters!
And it became such a like popular fable or whatever that Roald Dahl wrote a book called Gremlins.
Roald Dahl, the creator of Fantastic Mr. Fox and Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
I prefer Fantastic Mr. Fox, Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
And Witches.
And Witches. And several other great books.
And The Big Fucking Giant.
Yeah.
These
are James and the Giant Peach as well.
We'll say yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
And
say yeah!
Disney was going to produce a cartoon about that book and never came to fruition. But Warner Brothers did a Looney Tunes cartoon with Bugs Bunny trying to stop a little gremlin from tearing apart planes and shit. So Warner Brothers, 40 years later, made this movie, Gremlins.
Indeed. And we end up with basically Billy taking care of this little gremlin. They accidentally get it wet.
What happens when you get it wet? Actually, you know who got it wet? It was Corey Feldman.
Yeah. Who's to blame for Corey Feldman?
Someone got his father wet.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's getting everyone wet. Gets his father wet in the Goonies. Gets the Mogwai wet.
That's right.
He does get
Yeah, he gets wet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's getting wet everywhere.
He's just getting water everywhere. Can't trust him. Yeah, filling up bathtubs and Lost Boys.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of pictures.
So I'm sure he gets wet in Goonies too. Oh yeah,
he does. We said he does
a couple times.
He gets wet that scene, and then he takes his wishes back.
That's right.
From the wishing well.
This is my wish.
And I believe he falls into the water by the pirate ship as well.
That's right.
So yes, he gets wet several times in the Goonies.
So where does this movie fall in your little Christmas list? Do you watch it every year? Is it in your?
I do watch it every year. I don't consider it that much of a Christmas film.
Liar.
Even though it is. It is very much a Christmas film. It's, like I said, an anti-Christmas movie, though. It's very dark.
Some people argue that it's not a Christmas movie because it's not about the holiday itself.
The movie takes place during Christmas.
Yeah,
it's a Christmas
I agree.
Movie.
I disagree that
Harry Potter has one scene, and it's considered a Christmas movie
to
by
some,
many.
To some. But it's not like the Santa Claus. It's not like Miracle on 34th Street.
Papa Gijo.
Yeah. This movie does take place during Christmas. They do make note of that often.
Child's Play's a Christmas movie.
And there's that. We talked about it last week on our Christmas episode. That it has the most traumatizing Christmas scene of all time.
Yes. Spoilers. If you have young children listening now, or if you yourself know of Santa Claus, they spoil it and say that he is not real.
Yeah, and originally that scene was to be cut. Steven Spielberg didn't like it, and other producers
Very
didn't
effective.
Like it. And but Spielberg said it's Joe Dante's film. If he wants to keep it in, he can, and he did.
It's pretty dark. When you think about it,
oh, yeah.
he breaks his neck. Her father broke his neck coming down the chimney.
Yep, just like Santa.
And just died there.
Yep.
And they didn't know
like
for
a
like
week
3 days or, yeah, a week. It's like, okay.
Yep.
This took a dark turn.
Well, that was like amongst all the chaos that was going on of the town getting destroyed, which I found very impressive. There's a shot of them, they're running out of the bar. And they're running across the street to, like, the bank or something to, like, bunker up for a minute. And that's why she's like, another reason to hate Christmas. And then she tells her story. But in them running across the street and just everything in this town square getting destroyed and gremlins running rampant, it was very impressive.
I always like the shot of it's, like, Stripe mm-hmm. like running up, like,
yeah,
and
after
then they all fucking the start charging. I'm like, yeah.
After the swimming pool incident.
There's a lot of funny, yeah, moments in this. They're not even funny, but they're likable evil creatures in a sense because they have personality to them. You know, like the bar scene where they're like throwing shit and playing darts, and the one has like 40 cigarettes in his mouth, mm-hmm. and they're like smashing glasses and getting drunk.
Yeah, it's
and
chaos. Yeah, it's something to look at everywhere.
It's a fun film, but then there's like dark moments where like the racist neighbor gets run over by his own plow.
Yeah.
That hasn't had to give him a day of trouble in 15 years.
Gremlin's got him.
Gremlin's got him. Mrs. Deagle gets what she deserves and gets skyrocketed out of here by
what do you call those things?
Stair lift,
yeah.
I think. They, like, malfunction it. And there's some iconic gremlin deaths, like in the microwave. Mm-hmm. Or does she put one in the blender?
Yeah.
Yeah, like blender, in the microwave.
Stabs one to death.
Yeah, there's...
Doesn't Billy comes home and hacks
hits
one.
Hits one with a sword.
Yeah, decapitation, right in the fire pit.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some, like, interesting... We're telling you this, and you're like, this was PG?
Yeah,
like,
right.
This was a PG movie. So that's kind of interesting. It's like...
I remember being really young and getting scared when Billy came into the professor's office and finds him dead with a shot,
yeah,
with a syringe in his ass, and the music plays like... Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, but I'm then like, there's like that gremlin's like...
Yeah.
Nom, nom.
I was going to ask, can you do that one?
Yeah, you just... Nummies.
I was, it was right before the epic shot of them blowing up the movie blowing up the movie theater. All the gremlins are in the auditorium watching Snow White. And
if it was Warner Brothers, how'd they get the rights to Snow White? Right? Snow White.
I don't know. It's Spielberg, so ask him. And then,
and Kathleen Kennedy.
Stripe looks across the street and says, candy. And he says that. Yum, yum.
And then we get the iconic shot of Gizmo riding a fucking Ferrari.
Yes. Yeah, you're the right kind of dame.
Yeah. Just going. But yeah, Gizmo is like the one true good Mogwai. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got like... If we did like a Mount Rushmore of cuteness, like cute baby monsters, we get like... Gizmo would be on that Mount Rushmore alongside Baby Yoda and Baby Grinch.
So he'd be the George Washington, but that might be Wicket, the Ewok.
Yeah, people don't really like Ewoks that much.
I mean, but they thought they were cute.
True, true. We got
Gizmo,
Baby Yoda on
Baby
there.
Yoda, Baby Grinch.
Baby Grinch, yeah. Easy. Easy. and the Xenomorph. But
yeah. So...
face hugger.
In the original script... Gizmo was to turn into Stripe. How about that?
Yuck.
Yeah, so he was going
to
become
But they're like,
bad.
We need to sell toys.
It was Spielberg who said, we need to keep them separate.
It would have made sense, though, if the like this little sweet one turned evil.
Yeah, that was the original intent. And in the finale, Sunlight, yes, kills the evil gremlin, but like the cute one was still left. Mm. So he would turn back and then the China shop owner guy, would show up and be like,
do it like he was a cratchety old man.
Cause
like,
he was,
hey, you kids!
You're not ready. And takes it back. So that's why in the movie itself, like in the second half of the movie, when all the chaos is really happening, Gizmo really doesn't do shit, because he wasn't in the script really at all until they started like getting ready to film. Because
imagine if Jeff Goldblum was in this.
Spielberg was the one who's like, you spent so much time getting everyone to care about this little Gizmo guy, and he wanted to steer the movie into be more family oriented, which you can kind of get hints of. It does have that feel. So he wanted to keep them separate, and Joe Dante concurred. But other things from the original script that didn't stay that would have made this movie rated R was, there was a scene in a McDonald's where the gremlins weren't eating burgers. They were eating people. They killed the dog. The gremlins do. They killed that.
Not Barney.
They killed him. Not Miss Deagle. Gremlins. And then in the original script, when the mother was going all gung-ho killing the gremlins, Billy was going to come home. And when he came home, the mother, Stripe, was at the top of the stairs with the mother's head and throws it down the stairs at him.
Thanos with Captain America's head throws it at him. Did you know that was originally in the Endgame script?
What?
Thanos was going to go back in time, kill Captain America, and then when he came through the portal, like at the end, they have that like face-off, mm-hmm. like it's like Captain America, Iron Man, Thor. Thanos is going to have Captain America's head and throw it at him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
From like a different time.
Let's calm down. Let's calm down just a little. That's why he shaved. Yeah. I definitely think that this movie is, like I said, it's got horror elements, but it's got like the family, it's like a perfect chaotic storm in a sense, because they're displaying this chaos, but also the themes of the film are all over the place. 1 second it's funny, and then it's got horror elements, and then it's got action elements. There's explosions, and there's guns, and car chases.
It's warm. It's exciting.
Yes, which is everything you want in a Christmas movie. I definitely think that this film is a Christmas movie, and it's a very enjoyable movie, and it displays the message of, you know, take care of what you got, right?
Before it's gone,
and
before it tries to kill you,
and listen to the and pay attention to the rules.
Yeah, that's right.
But
if you don't obey the rules, you lose what you get, and it'll try to kill you.
Exactly. I enjoy this film. I think everyone should see Gremlins at least once because the special effects do hold up rather well.
It's because they're real, damn it.
Yeah. I really do think. I mean, they're coming out with a third one, aren't they? Or they're working toward it.
Not necessarily. It's going to be a Disney. No, not Disney. The Warner Brothers one was HBO Max.
Ah,
pardon me. It's going to be HBO Max show, and it's going to be an animated show, cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't too big on that either, but I'll take some more Gremlins. I'm not going to get HBO Max, but you know.
I believe if you already have HBO, you get it for free.
I don't think so.
I think you do.
Well, we don't get HBO.
I do.
You don't.
I do, though.
I have HBO Go, but not HBO.
No.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? This movie did spin a sequel.
Yeah.
Gremlins 3.
The new batch.
Do. So what are your thoughts on that?
Pretty much everything that the Key and Peele skit says, I agree with. Yeah. It is, that one's more chaotic than the first one, because they tried to do everything.
And they do.
It is a very enjoyable film. It's funny. It's one of those where you just have to accept that it's bad, basically. And once you do that and just have fun with it, it's really good.
I wouldn't say accept that it's bad. I would say accept that it's silly.
Yeah. Like chaotic and fun.
Because it takes place in a skyscraper that is everything. It's a business. It's a mall. It's a TV studio. It's a science lab.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Cuz.
And there's a random shot with the boss. He's up in his office. He's talking
to the boss again.
I don't remember. Okay. He's the evil scientist in Batman Forever.
What's his name in it, though? Christian Feige.
Oh, no. Batman Forever. He's in Batman Robin, sorry. Yes. Christopher Lee. Yes, Christopher Lee. Lee, isn't it?
Yes.
And those creepy twins.
Chocolate.
From
Chocolate. The most quotable Christopher Lee.
Lollipops on a stick.
No, my friend. This is a terrible mistake.
He's talking on the phone in his office on the top floor. Do you see an airplane fly by?
They're that high up.
Yeah. Like, just ridiculous stuff like that. But, yeah, they did that, so the Gremlins had more to do in the sequel, and it is insane. Like,
do we have them attack a town? No. One building.
Can the Hulkster be in it?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Talking about world champion Hulk Hogan. You, sir. Our dangerous psychopath.
It is in the movie. If you think of it, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah. Spider gremlin, female gremlin.
Vegetable gremlin.
Vegetable gremlin, indeed. There is a gremlin for everyone. And Rambo, Rambo Mogwai. So
it has that googly-eyed gremlin,
which is fantastic. Indeed. But yeah, Gremlins is a family picture that you just have to skip one scene. Actually, my sister-in-law now, when she was wee, around I think 8 or 9, she really wanted to watch this film, so we let her watch it. But I told her mom, I was like, "Hey, there's a scene. I know exactly where it is. We need to skip it." So literally, like as that scene came up, I was like, "Wife, distract her," and she distracted her, and I just skipped it real quick. So what happened? I'm like, "Oh, my DVD is scratched there." Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great movie. Everyone should see it. And I wonder what it would look like if it came out today.
I want one to come out today so badly.
Yeah, what if they did it like animatronic with CGI? That would look good.
Marry the two.
Yar.
Speaking of Marry the Two, I once had a fantasy for a Gremlins 3 where it kind of starts with like Billy and Kate and Gizmo like just shopping around, and they kind of stumble upon a similar China shop that has another Mogwai that's female. And then the opening credits start, and it's just stills of like the next like 30 years of other Gremlin adventures where, you know, it's like they get wet again and more Gremlins come and they kill them, and then the two, Gizmo and Gizette, have a baby Mogwai, and what would his name be? Ratchet, and
Ratchet,
and they
Gizmo, Gizette, and Gizzy,
and Bill, and what is Billy?
Joe.
Like they, we're naming him after you, Billy, and that's where the third one would be, is the little baby Mogwai sprouts Gremlins.
And they're all little babies.
Or maybe they do what they originally wanted to do in the first one, where the baby one eats after midnight.
It becomes evil.
And it becomes evil, and they have to find a way to get them as smart and cute to
kill them.
Yeah. Blow up.
You're my son.
They blow it up. And they, Gizmo in this one's been watching Jaws, not Rambo.
All right, everyone. Well, this portion of the show, let's submit the movie to the factory. This is where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Same movie, different cast and crew. So for Gremlins, 1984, who would you have directing this film?
1984, you say?
1984.
I couldn't tell if you said 94 or what.
84.
So this movie takes place in the 80s, and I was watching it, and I was getting these chilly vibes, especially when the mother was walking through the kitchen. There was some music that was playing. It sparked a little flame in my brain, and that was that the Duffer Brothers should direct this.
Duffers.
Yes.
The directors and creators of Stranger Things.
Indeed. Yes, it is an homage show to the 80s, but it has its science fiction elements. It has the
creatures.
Yeah, the young child adventure, creatures, chaos, yeah, I'd like to see their spin on it. Yes, they do rely heavy on visual effects, CGI. But with the right creature effects designer, they could do some good shit.
I went with a director who has directed a live-action film. However, he's not known for his live-action pictures. He is known for his, like, stop-motion pictures. And that's Henry Selick.
Oh, yeah.
Director of Coraline, James and the Giant Peach, Nightmare Before Christmas. He directed Monkey Bone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but those are the three that he's most well-known for. And so he's got this kind of dark comedic element. He's a lot like Tim Burton. They're kind of a marriage. And he works on a lot of the Leica productions as well, and helps with those. But yeah, Henry Selick directed Nightmare Before Christmas. A lot of times people get it mixed up, think Tim Burton directed that. He produced it and came up with the idea and stuff. But all in all, I think Henry Selick, he's a good director of these animated films. I'm sure he could find a way, because he's good with stop motion. Mm. He could still even do stop motion Gremlins.
They did that in a shot in this movie.
Mm-hmm. So and I think Henry Selick would
be. Spielberg originally wanted Tim Burton to direct this film. However, at the time, Tim Burton hadn't directed a feature-length film, so they didn't trust him.
Yeah. Well, Henry Selick has directed some.
Including Monkey Bone. Have you seen Monkey Bone?
No. Don't want to see it.
Spare your life.
So, we'll flip, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Heads, Henry Selick. Tails, Duffer Brothers. Heads, Henry Selick. So, with that being said, composer.
Who do you have in mind?
I went with someone who's worked with Henry Selick before and also we've used before, but I think would fit this kind of silly, dark elements, and this is Danny Elfman. I mean, it's pretty clear in my head. That's why I asked you. I was like, who composed this? And you told me it
Jerry
was
Goldsmith.
Jerry Goldsmith, but I was like, I thought maybe, just maybe, it was Danny Elfman. Because there is, you know, similar tones and things like that, and it's a darker film with upbeat moments, and that's kind of Danny Elfman's forte, known for pretty much any Tim Burton movie, Edward Scissorhands. He did Spider-Man, Sam Raimi films. He did the Spider-Man trilogy. He did
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. He did Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, little known fact, he's also the voice of Jack Skellington when
singing.
He sings.
Yes.
When he sings. But yeah, Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman. I didn't have a composer. I was
take Daniel.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I was trying. I'm like, Jerry Goldsmith is the master of whimsy. I can't.
Yeah, yeah. But Danny Elfman's whimsical. So with that being said, then we'll keep Danny Elfman. We're gonna do Kate and Billy.
You didn't want to do Father Peltzer?
No.
Friends. Let me tell you some friends.
It'd be him. Kate and Billy.
You know what that guy's act? What the actor's name was?
No.
His name was Hoyt Axton.
Whoa. Hoyt actor. Kate. Who you got for Kate?
Kate. I'm going with Anya Taylor-Joy.
I knew this name.
Yeah, she was in The Witch. She was in Split Glass. Any of them ringing bells?
I know who it is. Yeah, she's main girl in Split, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen her in like, commercials.
She's stuff. Great. I'm a really big fan of hers. And I was trying to think of like kind of like the Girl Next Door kind of vibe.
Same.
that Phoebe Cates gives off from, you know, 1984 here in Gremlins. So, yeah, I went with Anya Taylor-Joy. I'm a big fan of hers. I can't wait to see what like other stuff she does with her career because she really blew me away in all three of those films I had just mentioned. She's in that other goofy movie, Morgan.
The Goofy Movie.
I wish. No. I don't even think she was alive yet.
Did you know Scarlett Johansson's in Home Alone 3?
Yeah. It's like, whatever is the kid's name is. I'll say it's Kevin. It's not Kevin. It's like, Kevin dropped the toilet seat on his thing again. Yeah, she's in there. It's the first time I ever laid eyes
on Scarlett Johansson. Mm-hmm. So for mine, I went for the same idea of like Girl Next Door, like kind of idea. And I went with Emma Watson.
Old Emma, baby.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking, like, Kate in this film is shown as, like, a hardworking and, like, very, like, an intellectual person, and she, you know, is a strong character, right? So I thought Emma Watson, that's Hermione Granger right there. Yeah, Belle. So I thought that Emma Watson would be able to portray this.
She's too old.
They're like over 21 this movie.
I felt like saying it.
Because you think they're like kids, but there is a scene, they're in the bar, and he's drinking a beer.
Yeah, yeah. I thought when I was getting ready to watch this again, I was like, they're in high school because he takes the Mogwai to the professor and stuff.
But he's like in college.
Yeah, he's like working in a bank.
Yeah.
And,
I'm guessing he's around 23 because the Neil from Santa Claus is like, I'm 23, I'm a junior vice president.
By 30, I'll be a millionaire.
Yeah. I'm like, you're a dick in all your movies. yeah, I went with Emma Watson. So she's not too old. Not at all. Not at all. So heads, Emma Watson, tails, and Anya Taylor Johnson.
Joy. How many last names does she have?
Aaron Taylor Johnson is what I got. Tails, Anya Taylor Joy.
Yes.
All right, Billy.
Billy. So something I noticed about Zach Galligan?
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. He kind of plays this like little dweeb kind of guy.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily what I was going for. I was kind of going for The Boy Next Door.
Ah.
I'm going with Lucas Hedges. I'm also a big fan of his. He's going to be an up-and-coming great one. I first saw him in The Zero Theorem. Have you seen that? It's a Terry Gilliam film. He's really good in that. He was in Manchester by the Sea.
Is he the redhead kid?
I'm sure. And then I think he's like blondish, but yeah.
Yeah, he's like the main kid.
Yeah. He was in Lady Bird, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Boy Erased last year.
Sad one. The only movie I've seen out of that was Manchester by the Sea, and that movie's depressing.
Yeah. He was in mid-90s, and then I recently saw him in Honey Boy, and he brought me to tears. I think he's a really great actor. I want great things from him, but why not throw him in a franchise film, make some paper before he goes and makes his artsy films?
I went with a nerdy guy that's portrayed younger people before and portrayed
Leo DiCaprio.
A goofy person. Definitely not your boy next door. And that is, you're going to say, Joel, but goddamn it, he can play a 23-year-old. That's Jesse Eisenberg.
He poked in my head at one point.
He's the curly hair. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you're...
He also hasn't aged in 20 years.
No, yeah, he looks the same. I just crossed out Lucas Hedges. yeah, Jesse Eisenberg, known for The Social Network. I couldn't even remember his name. I typed in Mark Zuckerberg.
Jesus.
At first. But yeah, Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor himself.
Yeah, damn it.
And
what's his name? Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus.
From Zombieland.
That's kind of what I was thinking, like Columbus and that, like a nervous, nervous guy.
I saw Zombieland 2 this year, and he looked exactly the same as he did in Zombieland, and there's a 10-year difference.
Obviously.
Yes.
But yeah, Jesse Eisenberg, indeed, was my pick for Billy. So heads, Jesse Eisenberg. Tails, Lucas Hedges.
Let's see if you crossed it out.
Heads.
On purpose here.
Jesse Eisenberg.
You don't have to worry about crossing it out. And just Alrighty. For fun, I did cast a Father Peltzer, who is the inventor, the dad. And I don't know why. I was thinking kids movie, dad, and for some reason, I thought Lego movie.
Ah, I Chris went, Pratt?
Will Ferrell.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can get you things. What about John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly? That's actually probably better.
Yeah. I can get you things.
And now right here is the bathroom buddy. And let's say you go to the office and you forgot to shave.
You become an omelet.
Kind of sound like Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. So one of the stepbrothers as the dad.
All righty. Well, our Gremlins movie, 1984, directed by Henry Selick, composed by Danny Elfman. Kate would be played by Anya Taylor-Joy, and Billy played by Jesse Eisenberg. With that being said, that is the close of the show. Do you got a question before we go?
Yes. If you had a gremlin of your own, what would you name him?
If I had a gremlin of my own, what would I name it? I would name it... Grams.
Little baby Grams.
Little baby goose man.
I name it The Cuteness.
This is, you can come over and play with The Cuteness anytime you like.
That people be like, why is he talking with an Italian accent? So yeah, that's our Gremlins Christmas classic review.
Indeedio. So if you liked what you heard, everyone, be sure to check us out on Audioboom if you haven't already. That's our primary site. That's where we post the podcast to first, and then they distribute it at everywhere else. Also, you can check us out on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod on Twitter. That's where we'll be posting clips from the show, what we're going to be watching this week, etc. It's a good old time over there. Memes that Gus makes. We'll also be retweeting great shows to check out as well. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory and click on us. Join us. Like and share what we post. Comment on what you like. And yeah, there you'll see what we're watching each and every week, along with memes and links to the things Ben mentioned, Twitter, Spotify, Audioboom, and that.
Yar, yar, and yar. So until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers. Na, 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 na.